Welcome to the Home with Intention podcast. I'm Jody Perry, your host. I support the do-it-yourself homeowners by delivering interior design services with empathy, intention, and simplicity at jodypairdesigns.com and by curating a collection of meaningful home products available at essentialpairings.com. My purpose with this show is to inspire you to create a home that is a reflection of you and what you value most in life. This podcast will support you in breaking through the limiting thoughts and fears that have been holding you back from creating a home that is uniquely you. There are no decorating rules or trends to follow here, only inspiration, ideas, and encouragement to express your kind of beautiful, a home that captures the essence of your soul. It's time to create your home with intention. Hi, everybody. I'm Jody Pear.
Hi, I'm Kathy Feltz.
Kathy, I'm so happy you are back. I mean, it's only been a week since we last met, but I started a podcast this week and I've been doing a lot of recordings by myself and I miss you.
Oh, exciting. Exciting and scary.
Very much so. And awkward. And anyway. So it's very nice to see you. And
thank you. You too.
Thanks. So yesterday I did a reading from one of our favorite books, Simple Abundance, and Sarah Von Braunek. And it's a perfect segue into our conversation today. So yesterday, the reading that I did was for May the 6th, and which is today's May 7th. So we're right on track. But what Sarah said in there, she suggests that you observe your patterns of living. How are you storing things or not? And what areas are becoming catch-alls? And I love that. I love the idea of observing your own habits. And we've talked about this before, about how you and I have, you know, tried to work around, you know, our partner's habits, you know, and try to create an organized space around that. So I love that Sarah says that in such a nice way. But today we're going to talk about more about Julie Morgenstern, organizing from the inside out. Yes. I love that it has two different covers.
Yeah. Isn't that, that's so weird. And I know I had that one with that cover originally.
But, and they're both first editions, which is odd. But anyway, I did tell our viewers that we were going to be talking about this book a lot, but I'm saving these conversations for when you're here, because this is the foundation of your professional career as a professional organizer. So I want to say, we're going to save these for when you and I are together, this conversation. But anyway, so going back to, you know, observing your patterns of living. So Julie here in her book, in this section called, so it's Analyze Taking Stock. It's chapter three. And then the subtitle is What's Working? And she's talking about some of her clients, and she's talking about this one client who her closet was just total chaos, but among the chaos was this beautiful, perfect belt rack that her client was using, you know, so it's, and so she wanted to know, like, why is this working for you? Yet your clothes are just strewn everywhere, thrown everywhere. And it's a mess that you have to, that's depleting your energy every single day as you try to navigate this. But then here's this perfect little belt rack. So do you remember this from your 20s? Yeah. And so her client said, I mean, so it's appealing to her client. Her client sees this belt rack as a beautiful aesthetic, and she's happy to use it. And it's the perfect size to accommodate the exact number of belts that she has. So that's one of the keys that you have talked about when you're looking at organizing and trying to sort through your things, you know, like don't just rush out and buy organizers, like analyze what you have, take stock of what you have. And then if you need to purchase something, do it for the number of things that you have and the exact thing that you have. Right? Am I saying that right?
Right. Yeah. And also it's so important for it to look nice to you. No, that's one of the keys. So she loved that belt rack. And so she was excited to use it. And it brought her, you know, if we can bring in Marie Kondo for a second, it really brought her joy.
Yeah.
You know, every time she used it and every time she looked at it. And we know in our own spaces that the opposite is true. When we hate something like that bureau that was in your bedroom, it's like you don't want to use it and you don't want to look at it and you don't take care of it.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, we forget how important our things are and what kind of, like you mentioned, energy they pull from us or give to us.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. And that, you know, this is what is missed when on HGTV and in the design magazines, this is what they're not talking about. You know, I mean, what they're showing you is glamorous and beautiful. And you, and we look at that and think, oh, why doesn't my space look like that? But it doesn't have to, it just has to feel good. You know, anyway, right? That's
right.
It just has to feel
very it's very individual and particular to each person. And it is one of the things that I talk about with people when I'm helping them assess their space, when we're making a plan for organizing. They're always, or I have never been in a house where there's not a single thing that's working. There's always something that's working. And then you can build on how come that's working. What is it about that that speaks to you or is efficient for you or you like the way it looks? What about that? Is it because it's sleek and modern looking? Is it because it's made of mahogany and it's warm and classic? You know, who knows? For each person, it's different. But when you know what's working and how come, then that's where you can start to build.
Yes. I love that. And I'm also reminded of what we talked about. I think last week I shared about our habit of dropping our shoes at the side door. And I had this tiny little landing. And and it works because it's out of convenience. And so simply turning the direction that I place my shoes in allows the door to fully swing open. And so that right there, that simple little change is a stress reliever for me and makes me feel better every single time I walk through that door.
And think about that. You know, I love watching design shows and fixer-upper shows where they're like redoing. And they talk about when you come into the front door or the back door, whichever one you come in all the time, if you get stopped and clogged up right there, your whole experience of your house is being frustrated and annoyed.
Yeah.
Because you can't even get in the door without it like not working.
Yeah.
You know? So,
Oh, I love this. And I'm going to do, after you and I finish here, I will do a full, reading of this section of her book because she gives some really good examples that I think could apply to other people. And she's giving an example of another client who she loves to dump her coat, briefcase, and purse as soon as she walks in the door of her house. And, but then it creates like a clog, like in the energy and the flow and like, how do you address that? But she really does give concrete examples. How do you work with the habits? And that is not something that we are used to doing. We, you know, we're wanting that instant gratification. And so, you know, maybe we're going to take that pile and shove it in the closet and close the door. But then as soon as you open the door, there it is again. And it's like, frustration. So if you can start, you know, training yourself to notice your own patterns and your own habits, you can alleviate your own stress and make yourself feel better in your space.
Yeah. Yeah. And that really is key to notice it and look at it and just make note of, I always call them clutter hotspots, places where things back up, you know, places where the piles accumulate no matter what you seem to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, really looking at that. Those are the places to address. And if you can get some of those taken care of, well, you feel so accomplished.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, oh my gosh, that's so much better. And yeah. Maybe all you did was clear off the dining room table.
Right.
That had been piled up for years.
Right.
You know,
right.
So yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, it is. It is. And so Julie Morgenstern is my girl.
Yes.
And she has great, great things to say.
Yes. Oh, yes. So, so helpful and concrete examples and that we can use in our everyday life. So if you don't have a copy, maybe you want to pick up a copy of this and, but I will share, you know, the section at the end of this so that you have some ideas of how you can implement this in your own home.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Kathy. This was great conversation and we will see you next week.
Yes.
All
yes.
right.
See you next week. And it was fun. It's always fun.
Yes. All right. Thanks, Kathy. Thanks, everybody. See you.
Bye, Jody. Bye, everybody.
Today's reading is from Julie Morgenstern's book, Organizing from the Inside Out. Chapter 3, What's Working? One of the best ways to custom design an organizing system is to start by identifying what works. What works, you ask? Nothing. My life is completely out of control. That's why I'm reading this book. Look more closely. No matter what state of disorder your space may be in, I guarantee that buried beneath the rubble are some systems that are working just fine for you. For example, you may have a drawer where you always keep your banking supplies, or an old-fashioned address book you know you can rely on. There may be one room in your house that is in perfect order while all the others are in chaos. Or your office may be organized, but not your home. Identifying and preserving what's working offers you many advantages. First, it saves you an enormous amount of time and energy. Too often when people go on an organizing spree, they completely redo everything, including systems that are working pretty well, wasting precious effort in the wrong area. As the saying goes, don't fix it if it ain't broke. There is no need to dismantle something that is already effective. Doing so causes more harm than good. Second, by recognizing that you've done something right and giving yourself credit where credit is due, your self-confidence gets a big boost. If you can organize one thing, you can organize anything. Finally, and most important, by studying what's working, what you like about those systems, and why they're so easy for you to maintain, you learn what appeals to you as an individual and what you will want to replicate. Your answers become the organizing criteria for each new system you create. For example, one client, Janet, had a clothes closet that was, in her words, a calamity. She threw her clothes, shoes, and handbags inside haphazardly on a daily basis, making finding things and getting dressed each morning a nightmare of frantic activity. She was ashamed of treating her expensive clothes this way and of her own embarrassing lack of discipline. Interestingly, I noticed that standing alone amid the chaos of her closet was a solitary oasis of order, one perfectly organized belt rack. She wore belts every day and consistently returned them to that rack in their special places, arranged and separated by color and style. We talked about why this one system worked so well for her, and lo and behold, we found several very logical reasons. First, the rack was the perfect size for the number of belts she owned, so she could fit them all evenly without crowding. Second, she loved the modern design of the piece, a rich polished wood with rounded pegs that appealed to her sense of aesthetics and gave her joy every time she used it. And third, since the rack was mounted on the inside of her closet door, which swung out into the room when opened, it happened to be the only part of the closet that received enough light. Understanding this, our goal thus became making the rest of her closet work as well as that belt rack, which we did by carefully counting and measuring items to be sure that we bought containers that were just the right size, selecting containers that appealed to her sense of design, and installing a closet light so she could see everything inside. Another part of assessing what's working includes pinpointing those areas that are partly working, then seeing what you can do to refine them. By working with your habits rather than starting from scratch and trying to retrain yourself to do something that feels unnatural, you're more likely to sustain your system. Let me give you some examples. One client loved to dump her coat, briefcase, and purse as soon as she walked in the door of her house. Problem was, these items wound up piled up on the floor because the coat closet was 20 feet away. Rather than retraining her to be disciplined and walk those 20 feet, open the closet door, pull out the hanger, etc., we worked with her habit by mounting a rack with hooks and a small shelf on the wall by the door so that she had a place to put her things as she walked in. Another example, Kathy, a working mom with three, piled all her shoes on the floor next to her bed because that was where she liked putting them on and kicking them off. The closet was in another room and she didn't want to be bothered carrying them back and forth. Instead of forcing her to learn a new habit, we bought a shoe rack and put it next to her bed so she could continue doing what was comfortable to her without creating a mess. Mark, a businessman, always captured notes to himself on legal pads. He wrote every thought that came to him, including things to do, calls to make, ideas for his business, and notes from phone conversations. Writing things down helped him clarify his thinking, but each page had so much information scribbled on it, he couldn't keep track of it all. As a result, action items and critical data were frequently overlooked. He probably had 20 legal pads floating around his desk, and he was constantly shuffling through each one, searching for important nuggets of information. Rather than ask Mark to change his behavior completely, I suggested he simply adapt his existing system by limiting himself to one topic per page. This way, he could continue his natural habit of writing everything down, but all the information would be separated, so he could easily act on, toss, or file each page by subject. Study your environment for natural habits and tendencies. See if you can work with rather than fight against them. A system built in this way will be infinitely easier for you to maintain. Thank you so much for being here. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean the world to me if you could leave a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you listen on, because it helps me to grow this podcast and to reach more people. Because the more people who choose their surroundings with intention, the more people can follow their heart back home to themselves, which is the mission for this podcast. Once a month, I will randomly select a reviewer and offer them a free download of my book, The Art of Decorating with Intention, a guidebook to creating an oasis for your soul. For more frequent insights and inspiration, you can follow me on Instagram at Jody Pear Designs. I have been fortunate enough to find the most helpful resources and amazing people whose work has touched me and inspired me to show up here today. TheHouseCoachingInstitute.com. Kathy Heller's inspiring podcast, Don't Keep Your Day Job. Allison Barker's work and her new podcast, Your Soulful Brand. The Sherry and Nancy Show, a podcast for women in their 50s that is hilarious and deeply inspiring. And Sandy Monroe. She is a joyful life lived on Instagram, and her brilliant teachings and guidance are exactly what I need. I'm so grateful to have found each one of you along the path towards fulfilling my dreams. I'll see you in the next episode of Home with Intention.